Hello, hello. My name is Emily, and this is your creative break. For this fifth episode, I want to talk about drafting. More specifically, first drafts. What we love about them, what we hate about them, what we may struggle to overcome when we are looking to move a piece past that first iteration into something more elevated. And I will say, somewhat hilariously, usually with these podcasts, this is my fifth one, I'll just sit down, sometimes I'll take notes, sometimes not, and I'll just press play and record for about 20 minutes, and that's it. And this podcast on drafting has been so feisty, and I cannot get the words that I want to say. My neighbor is having a party. It is Monday night at 8:30, and they're having like a party, and so I've had to keep stopping and starting. And I think that's just so fitting for this idea that sometimes, no, the first thing out of your mouth is not the best version. So today I want to talk about what I define as a first draft. Some instances that I have found that they are okay, some instances where I've wanted to maybe revise them, some tactics to do so, and then sort of the dark side of over-revising with my absolute favorite poet, Walt Whitman. If you are familiar with his work, he basically wrote the same poem a bunch of times. It's amazing. All of his work is amazing, but he really overdrafted Leaves of Grass in a way that kind of muddled it. And so there's definitely a spectrum, and wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, it's important to know, you know, yeah, I'm the kind of person that maybe just does one or two drafts, or I'm the kind of person that has to do 10 drafts, and if I'm on the ninth one, it's not ready. So let's talk about drafting. The first thing is to define it. I think I consider a draft, a first draft, as that initial time you take it from your mind into the world. So that blank page moment, whether you're blank paged with writer's block or whether you have a lot in your mind that you're trying to get out as quickly as possible before you lose it, that sense of urgency. It can take hours, it can take seconds. There are so many versions of this. And so knowing the kind of person you are when you're first starting to create, and it might be different for each project, is really important to understand how you will then approach your draft. So I would say, if you're the kind of person that sits at a blank page and just stares until something hits you, it's just important to get started and just write something down, take that first brush stroke, do something, hit a note, and then possibly that will help you start. Writer's block is truly a crippling disease, and so no judgment at all. And if you're the kind of person who is struggling to get it all out of your head because so much of it is just jumbled up in there, you need a system to get it out, whether you're quickly writing. Sometimes I can type faster than I write, and so I use that instead. I'll do a digital draft. But understanding that when you have so much, it's almost an overflow, then not everything is going to be amazing. I tend to be on this end of the spectrum, where when I write something, almost always the first 5 to 8 lines is just preamble. Like, I'm just getting it out. Like, I don't really hit the meat of it until maybe the second stanza if it's a poem, definitely the second or third paragraph if it's a longer piece of writing. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, now I can see it, but before I was like, all of this is very important. The backstory is important to the story, and it's not. And later, I'm sure we'll talk about different tactics and ways to revise your drafting personality, but we'll leave it there for now. not to be too prescriptive, but just understanding where you are in that process and how you feel about your initial spark, that inspiration, what's driven you to create. That's going to really dictate how you draft. If it's an assignment or there's a deadline, you may be one of those free flow creators who is stuck now because the urgency and the concern of that deadline has just completely messed up your process. So just first, I think it starts with an awareness of who you are as a creative. And that can take years to fully understand. So no rush, no pressure. Just try and notice next time. I would consider that first draft the moment when you have done the creating and you can step back and it is a finished full thought. Whether that's, you know, the sketch of a painting, whether it is the first version of a painting, whether it's an outline, whether it's a poem, but you could go back in there and fix something. But it has a full stop to it. It has an ending. I think it's harder with longer works, whether you're composing something musically that's very long or a novel comes to mind, where you'll do first drafts of chapters, you'll do first drafts of particular portions, and then there'll be a full first draft. And so each of those little microcosms also deserve editing and revision. And it can be a long, tedious process. So I wouldn't say you're revising if in the first draft you're like making something and then you go back and you erase a little bit and then you continue. I'm talking about finishing, full stop, and then returning. That's kind of the full draft, just the first draft process in my mind. But totally okay if you disagree. I think we all come to it with a very personal perspective. So why does it matter? Why does it matter if you have to go back and fix it, or why can't you just stick with your first draft? Well, first I would say, if you stuck with your first draft, you oftentimes will be stunting the potential of your work. You have a lot of potential. Whatever your art form is, whatever your process is, you have a lot to offer. And you are so much more than the chaos or the struggle of getting it out on paper into the world that first instance. You have so much more to offer than that sort of, I think of it as like a wrestling sort of athletic process to like get that out. And then when we come back and we edit, we've got tweezers, right? We're like making little small movements, maybe bigger than tweezers. Maybe we've got a paring knife, but it's not this first kind of grudging, difficult struggle to make it real. Once you've made it real, now you can tweak it. You can sort of, I think about like sort of tilling the soil to plant seeds, and then all of a sudden you're just pruning the leaves. It's such a different experience, getting your hands in the earth, making it tactile and intense. And then later, once it's real and it's full, you can just tweak it a little. You can just make it a little bit better. Sometimes a lot of it better. Sometimes we do have to rewrite, but for the most part, there is just small adjustments. A line here, a little adjustment there, timing. Little things like that, nuances that you can offer that are so much easier than trying to get it all done right the first time. So when we do versions or different drafts, we sort of begin to combat perfectionism. So I'm not a clinician, I do not have a psychology background, but I will very loosely define perfectionism in this case as needing to do it perfectly or we're not doing it. And we'll talk about that later. There are many other podcasts that tackle this. I listened to a few who have really addressed this concern. And for creatives, it's really hard. The pressure to do it right is exhausting, and then you add on the pressure to do it right the first time, and you might as well just not. So give yourself permission to do a couple drafts, Let your first draft be messy. Let it be a wrestling match. Get it out into the world, and then only once it's out there, address whether it's perfect or not, if you're going for perfect, whether it tells the story you want to tell, whether it evokes the feeling you want it to evoke. That's really important, to come at it a second time and not blame yourself or not challenge yourself impossibly so, to do it exactly right as best you can the first time. None of us are gonna get it right the first time. It's really important to understand that we are always improving, and so our art and our creativity is always improving. A lot of us have our egos tied into how good our first drafts are. A lot of us have how talented we think we are, how impressive we think we should be, tied into this idea of being able to, on the spot, call upon a masterpiece. And that just isn't usually how it works. It's not. I wish it was. I wish we could just unfold our greatest work on the first try. But then, I don't know if it would be worth it, if it would be as impressive. I think that might cheapen the whole process. Part of me likes needing to earn it, but that's just me. So, how can you address your first drafts in a way that keeps you sane and actually does some good for the piece? Well, first, I would suggest time. Whenever I do something, I am completely enamored with it. It's perfect. It's like the first impression of your work. You just get to meet it and it's perfect. It's only a little later that I'm able to look at it and say, okay, yes, I do still like this, but I would change this or this. Or, you know, actually these first 8 lines are unnecessary, as usual. Or, it's really not what I was going for. I'm going to try something different. And the way you do that is you give it time. So maybe for me, that's a couple hours if I'm up against a deadline. That's my least successful amount of time, but I could do it. Or it's a couple days, a couple weeks. Sometimes it's a couple years. Sometimes I will put something down for a long time. Or I'll run into it again and I'll think, gosh, this almost tells the story I was going for, but I have new perspectives now and I'm able to change what I need to change. So that's important to remember, that time is absolutely a tool on your side. And don't think for one second that if you don't create every day that you are not still working on things. Stuff gestates in the back of your mind, on those way, way back burners where you're doing your regular stuff or you're watching YouTube videos and you're not thinking about it, but there's a part of your brain that doesn't turn off that is. And giving it that room to adjust and grow is sometimes exactly what you need. The second thing is perspective. If you're interested in hearing more about the critiquing process or how to get feedback, my last episode is how to critique gracefully. But I would absolutely recommend getting a group of people together, like-minded or not, same artistic form or not, and sharing your work with them. Getting feedback, sometimes honest, sometimes gentle, it's completely up to you. But it's extremely important to have outside perspectives. We have blinders on. We know what we meant, and we said it the best way we could say it. We know what we intended, and we showed it the best way we knew how. But someone else may be able to tell us, hey, you did do this pretty well, but I'm not really feeling the thing you said you wanted me to feel. It's so important. Maybe it's not friends. Maybe you submit it to a contest or to a journal of some kind where the editors have offered feedback. I absolutely recommend that every once in a while, maybe not for everything, but having something in your toolbox like someone who is a professional in that field, someone who has many, many years looking at work to give you some pretty honest feedback is invaluable. You absolutely can't do without it, especially if you're looking to further yourself professionally with your work or go into academia or try to be published. It's so important to have some pretty well-seasoned folks who can give you some honest information about what you've made. Now, if you're just doing it for fun, don't worry about that part so much. And then the last one, the worst one, the rewrite. When you finish doing what you're working on, really finished, and you print it out, or you lay it to the side, and you look at it for reference, and you do it again from scratch. Blank page, blank canvas, blank everything. Start over. This, I think, is the most powerful tool for revising because it really requires you to make different kinds of choices than you did in the beginning. For example, if you are rewriting a short story and you physically have to retype every word, you are going to naturally skip the wordy parts. You're going to naturally hone in on the most essential pieces of this and do it in a way that is succinct and specific because there's a part of us as humans that don't want to be wasteful, that are a little bit lazy in the best way. I do this a lot on my typewriter. I have a little purple typewriter and there's no backspace. So if I am doing a project or a poem or working on something for someone, especially if it's for sale and it needs to be perfect, I have to start over if I make a mistake, all the way over. And it's frustrating and it's draining, but I will tell you, in more cases than not, the final product of the second or third rewrite is truly better than the first one. You just make different choices. You've already seen the map, and so you know where you're going. It's like a water filtration system. All that muck, all that unnecessariness just gets stuck at the top, and at the bottom, you just have crystal clear intention. So those three tools I absolutely try and work into my drafts. And I think it's important. But there's definitely a dark side to revising. I'm a huge proponent of fixing things, tweaking things, trying a poem 10 different ways, doing things in a way that makes you feel like you have given the piece time to grow and evolve. We don't want to stunt it. We don't want to keep it small when it could be so much more than that first iteration. Even if we're in love with it, we want to let it bloom. I have a confession. Two of my favorite poems I have ever written, ever, the one poem that I've written that I am most known for in my poetry community, was a first draft. And I hate that. I hate it so much. But sometimes it just clicks. So I give you permission. If you love something, if it just clicks for you and others can confirm, I give you permission not to aggressively revise it. If after some time, if after some consideration, you really wouldn't change anything, then don't change anything. But do know that every once in a while, you'll have a first draft just click. But for the most part, you will need to deliver some wisdom to your work, some remove, some time, some revising, so that it can bloom and flourish into the thing it was meant to be. The dark side, of course, is you can over-edit. One of my favorite poets, Walt Whitman, over-edited Leaves of Grass. There are many versions of it. And I had a class where we read the first version It was a class dedicated to this song of self kind of writing, this very elaborate kind of expansive writing, sort of rambling on. It was a really fun creative writing class, but we read his first version because my instructor really did believe that he had edited the essence right out of it. It's still my favorite poem. Leaves of Grass, Song of Self, all of his work is so rich and enduring, but there is definitely a decided difference between the first version of Leaves of Grass and the last one. You can over-edit. You can take the joy and the sparkle out of things too. So if you find that you are never finished with something, or it's never going to be as perfect as you need it to be, or you just want to tweak one thing, or you return to it months after months after months and move a word around or move a phrase around, I would say you can do that one more time, but then let it rest. Let it settle. Let it be exactly as it is. If your mind is always saying it could be better for everything, for all of your pieces, it might be that you just haven't found that calmness, that quiet acceptance with what it is. It's a spectrum, like everything else. And so while we can under-edit and submit our first drafts as our best drafts, which they very rarely are, or we can over-edit and just take the joy and the magic right out of it, you have to find that balance. And again, remember, you also need to think about what it is this is for. Is it just for you? Are you enjoying the process? Are you experiencing it? Are you a freestyle dancer and you just dance to feel joy and it's not for anybody but you? Or are you trying to get into a program, get accepted, win an award, have your work on a mural somewhere? Very different. Different outcomes require different kinds of drafting. And so I would say understanding your purpose, understanding your drives will dictate how you draft. And when you decide it's done, some of us are done when it's due. And that's not very fair to the piece either. Don't let deadlines be your draft deciders. I could talk about this forever. I'm so passionate about drafting. I'm so passionate about revising. And I would say, truly, the best way is to get a buddy and share your work. See what someone else has to say about it. Find a new perspective. Trust yourself to know what you are going for, but learn to trust others when they tell you how they feel and what they see in your work so that you can break through some of your own boundaries. This has been a creative break. Whether you took a break, you had a breakthrough, or you want to break something, I am with you. I hope that when you sit down at that blank piece of paper, you are inspired. But even if you're not, so inspired. Your work always has room to grow. Thank you for taking the time. I'm proud of what you're creating, and I hope that you always find that you have achieved what you set out to do. I will see you in the next one.